40 from the Mirror. Written and read by Fresney. You know, I'm going to go straight into the summary. Well, not so much a summary as an explanation. This is 40 stories that I wrote on my 40th birthday, for my birthday, doing what I love to do, writing. Set in a universe that I've been playing in for a while, the city, which is an urban landscape where all myths and legends mix and wait for the bus and stand in line for coffee and curse the Great Bull of Heaven for screwing traffic over. Damn that Great Bull of Heaven. Some of the stories are as short as a couple of sentences. Some are a few paragraphs. Mainly I was aiming at the moments and flavors of myths more than anything else. There are a couple things I wanted to do going in. Diversity. There are Greeks and Norse and some Celts and, okay, some Disney. But it's a big world, and the city is a big place. So there are also Mayan hero twins and monkey kings and Shan of the Sea. Hopefully I did justice to the mix. Also, I wanted to write kick-ass women, which is to say, women being awesome in a lot of different ways. I love a lot of fandoms that focus on the boys with the penises, but as I think it was Betty White who asked, why do people talk about balls of steel? Balls are fragile. Want to talk about something that will take a pounding and keep going? Talk vaginas of steel. Or maybe it was Raven. So, raise a glass, and one more thing. One of these stories I'm going to read in an Irish accent. Why? Why not? It's my birthday fic, and I actually wrote an Irish character for once. We'll see if I pull that off. In any case, I hope you enjoy. Keep in mind, these are myths, so some stories are mature and some silly. There's pairings of every sort and then some. Well, here we go. 1. She leaned her head against the window and almost reflexively touched her sunglasses. Almost. She closed her eyes and said to the little boy sitting behind her on the train, "Don't tease my hair." She didn't turn around to look at him. They don't like it. There were quiet whispers from the boy's mother and father. She couldn't hear them, but her hair could taste their words with flickering tongues. She sighed and opened a tiny piece of chocolate. The shiny blue foil wrapper told her, "Do what feels right." She laughed and carefully flattened it with her thumb over the cover of her book. It fluttered like a heartbeat as she made a marker of it. The train slid into the wide steel arch station. She checked her sunglasses and pulled down her black patent bag from the overhead compartment. Her bag matched her shoes, her dress, her sunglasses. She let the others leave for the train first. She checked her lipstick for chocolate streaks. She wasn't quite ready yet. Now that she was finally here, she wasn't sure. Still, finally, she walked out. Let the conductor help her down. Thanked him with a red-lipped smile. Walked through the pulse of people, and no one turned to look at her as she went by. Well, the Minotaur in a crisp, tailored blue suit with a chocolate-brown tie that matched his eyes, he watched her. She walked a slow swing in her step. He didn't follow her or ask for her number, which made her smile widen further yet. Out into the rushing streets, surrounded by people at crosswalks, waiting for lights. If she'd had a hat, she'd have tossed it. She didn't toss her sunglasses, but she did smile at the city's beat around her. And when a thief snatched her bag as she stood marveling at the corner, she let her glasses slip and looked at him over the top to let him know it was a thing not to be done. Well, old habits die hard. 2. Luanda's shadow winked slyly at the girl. She picked up her needle and thread and sewed it back onto his foot. The shadow bled, while the flesh, being stone, did not. She paused. Stitch picked the shadow back off and took the shadow's hand as the moon set over the hills. 3. Bacchus stepped into the opera house, armed with a bottle of mineral water and a plastic tray. He handed over his printout and received a plastic wristband in return, and a wine glass stamped with the logo, City Annual Food and Wine Extravaganza, He slid the Wine Logo wine glass into the slot in the plastic tray. He grinned at the participating wineries and made his way to the marble staircase. He snapped his fingers, and a dozen maenads spread out behind him, armed with glasses of their own. He'd already planned his attack. He winked at the matching booth babe in bronze at the first floor vodka booth. He said, "Strategy never survives an encounter with the battlefield, don't you think?" and took a shot. The rest was laughter. 4. Inanna checked her inbox. "Oh, I don't think so." Her exit would have been more dramatic if the crank on her window hadn't stuck. She cursed it to the stars and flew out the window. Once she'd gathered her posse of armed love gods, Eros, Freya, the usual crew, she headed to the Circle Park for the demonstration. Afterwards, all she'd say at the police station was, "We were making love and not war." Skyfather came with the bail a few hours later, but by then the damage was done. 5. The mall was full of Sumerian zombies, and Cindy Lou didn't have a dress for the prom, or a date, or like everything sucked. Which is how she ended up at Starbucks pouring out her life story to a kitsun in this awesome hand-painted printed tee. The dress was awesome. And if it disappeared at midnight, well, she'd brought a robe. Seriously, he was a kitsun. What with the territory? Glass slippers, though? They drank plum wine out of those when they snuck into the annual opera wine brawl later. Getting a fox tattoo hadn't been the plan. But hey, if she hadn't wanted it, she wouldn't have accepted that first macchiato. 6. Oya tilted her head and tilted the horsetail between her hands and tilted the world. Well, truth be said, it tilted. She shook right. She shook it left. She spun on one foot and there may have been a tornado. She was going all out today. The doors to the mall opened and the crowds rushed in. Oya laughed, a breeze of air-conditioned blast, and castanetted her fingers. There was change in the air, and lightning and tornadoes. She narrowed her eyes, and Sumerian zombies! She sent Inanna an unfriendly text, because it wasn't all love and war, and she got down to business. 7. The butterfly house at the center of the Museum of Science, at the center of the Botanical Gardens, at the center of the park, at the center of the city, had finally been finished. And what happened? Horny, or was that horned gods, trashed the place. Its paplotl scowled and drank some blood from her thermos. She snapped her wings and snapped her bone fingers and snapped her butterfly net. Goat Boy was going down. 8. The fox looked at the wolf. The wolf looked at the eagle. The eagle, Zeus, king of the gods, slid between them and said to Fox, "Hey, baby, what's your sign?" The fox solemnly nodded at the wolf. The next morning, Hera received a box in the mail. She opened it and scowled. She refused to lend the eagle her peacock feathers, even when he begged. 9. Red Riding Hood did a slow grind with the wolf in the dark club. She had a butcher's knife to his heart, his teeth were at her neck. Nothing for it but to listen to the driving beat of the music in the dark and dance. 10. Snow looked at the red ripe apple in her hand, and she looked at Red.
"You're kidding me, right?"
Red smiled a charming smile and twirled the evil queen's crown around her index finger. "It's my birthday." Snow sighed and bit into the apple, yawned and lay back on the hard bed. As she fell asleep, she wondered what sort of kiss Red would wake her with this year. 11. Pippi Longstocking picked up the car and moved it so it wasn't straddling over the line into the next space. It wasn't like she needed to park. She didn't even own a car. She had a flying pirate ship. She just hated jerks. 12. Maleficent was having a bad hair day. One horn was turned left, the other was turned right, and her ravens were laughing at her. She ate three fairies and picked her teeth with a sword and felt infinitely better, until the fairies gave her indigestion. She went back to bed and tried again. 13. Abu Sabr looked out the window and smiled to see that the sun still rose. 14. It was a slow night at Caritas. Jesus hadn't named it that after the bar on Angel. Kind of the reverse. A trio of tired tourists, and wasn't that a footful, were tossed up by the city and heaved up to the bar. Iced marble. So hot outside, one embraced it. The bar often got that reaction. Jesus went to the tap and poured water into three wine glasses and gave them what refreshment they needed. 15. Marisi roared down the highway on her hog. Difficult, because no one else could see her, but not impossible. She sheared through the fog that clung to the west side. She twisted down the long road that led along the sea. The road made a figure six. She put a clover leaf in her hair and winked at the weekend warriors, who couldn't see her as they rode along the sea. The one at the end might have heard her rumble. She speared a lotus through his saddlebags as she went. It would bloom as he rode. Rode. Marisi roared down the highway on her hog. 16. White Terra wrung the grace out of her hair. It flowed into the water temple perched under the gondolas. There was a pure jade statue that looked out at the mist. It looked like solid plastic in the lamplight. Green Terra wrung the grace out of her dress. It splashed the city streets like viscous rain. It clung to windshields and oozed over umbrellas. A little girl turned her face up and splashed in a puddle by the side of the road. 17. Obviously, the grail was a cup made of wood. The wooden chimes rustled over the wooden statue of a bear. The garden gnome giggled. The problem was, this was a burlwood shop in a row of burlwood shops along the old redwood highway. All the cups were carved of wood. Percival sighed. 18. He wasn't a mentalist. Well, maybe. He had a clever tongue, and he smiled an untruth at his partner. He wasn't a criminal analyst. True enough, he didn't have a degree. Athena said, "You're Watson to my Holmes." She arched an eyebrow at him. "Or should I tell you where you were on the plains of Ferialium when you got your war injury again?" Odysseus tapped his fingers on his war revolver and grinned. He knew Watson. He knew Holmes. He whispered, "The game's afoot," and followed her as she ran. 19. The Monkey King swung idly on the jungle gym. Okay, it was a construction site. But he had King Kong in his sights. He plucked a handful of bottle brush flowers, and after a quick conference with the Flying Z Monkeys, he made his approach. He had some serious apologizing to do. 20. Rainbow Serpent smiled a billabong ring at Jormungandr, who looked back at Rainbow uncertainly, unused, no doubt, to smiles or rainbows. Rainbow arched like a bridge and let the gods journey on his back. He winked at Jormungandr, coiled and wrapped at the bottom of the bay. Rainbow cast aside his stick and his stones as islands. She swayed in the wind and was an oil slick on the water's surface. She floated and sent a selkie with a love note. With stick or without? The reply was a bubble. Both. Rainbow gathered up his islands and coiled on down. 21. Osiris flicked at a bent corner on the cover of his glossy travel magazine. It made a repetitious scritch-scritch. He was wearing his safari suit, the one with 101 hidden pockets. Nephthys glanced at him and stabbed at her knitting project over the swell of her very pregnant belly. Pearls dropped slipped and bounced from the yarn onto the floor. Isis smiled at Set across the narrow table with its inlay of gold and electrum. She handed Osiris an envelope and said, "Happy birthday, desert honey." He ripped it open with rapid fingers. "Bora, Bora!" He let the envelope fall. "How did you know?" Isis smiled and handed him a safari hat in green to match his skin. "Because I love you." But Set was the one she smiled at. She ignored Nephthys and her rain of pearls. Set really didn't like that smile. He texted his men, "Put away the box, save it for next year." At the Queen of Ethiopia's return, ? He sent back, "Tropical vacation. Again." He smiled back at the sister that he wasn't married to, who was not pregnant, as he eviscerated a pomegranate with his fingers. 22. Cucullin sat in the optometrist's chair and sat very still. He had 16 eyes. This was going to take a while. 23. Scathach did not sparkle. She did not live in the redwoods. She did not go to high school, even though she was hundreds of years old. She was not full of the eternal angst of being eternally pretty and young. She was not pretty. She was weather-scarred like a mountain. Her hair was black as the heart of a burnt tree. Her lips were red as old dried blood. Her skin was white as city snow, which is to say yellow. She was not young. She did not sparkle, not even a bit. She ran a high school, and the students who pissed her off wrote their essays in blood. This wasn't a curse. As she did a double backflip, shattered a board and caught an arrow in mid-flight, she grinned at the latest batch. She winked at the venerable celestial five-fingered dragon, who taught poetry and not martial arts. He sent her a poem in a paper airplane. She liked his aerodynamics. 24. It was a four-poster bed. A wrought iron four-poster bed, with silk-lined handcuffs dangling from the frame. Banu Ghoshab glanced alongside at her best-beloved husband, Giv. He kissed her cheek and climbed onto the bed. His arms outstretched, she said, "It's not even my birthday." He smiled. It was their anniversary. She snapped the cuffs in place and began. 25. Sekhmet strolled through the gym and leapt on the elliptical. She put on her headphones and dialed it up to 11. Red beer and blood wasn't exactly locale. 26. They hadn't started the regression testing. The release manifest was three-lined on the back of an envelope and the servers were about to croak. Durga laughed until the office shook. Why is the rum always gone? Then she made the sign of deal with it. She dealt it. 27. The sound of her footsteps clip-thudded through the walkway. She could have replaced the iron leg years ago, but Vishpala liked the way she sounded as she ran up the stairs. The men at the convention drew back, and she took the stage with a click-clang-thud. She wore a Doc Marten on her other foot, and that shoe hadn't yet dropped. Later, as she sat with the Tin Woodsman at a stool in the bar, they had an axe-throwing contest. It was a draw. No one lost a limb. 28. The Hero Twins looked at the spread of footy scholarships on the bed and grinned, slapped palms together and said, "Full ride." Which isn't to say they weren't still thinking about how to avenge the sad death of their father, One Hunter, and uncle, Seven Hunter. But a full ride to college was a full ride. 29. Percy threw the witch's shared eyeglass into the bog and laughed. The eldest witch clicked the clacker that sounded the alarm in the middle eye. As they crawled towards the noise, they laughed too. 30. The sirens went off. The sirens were always going off about something. Never where Persephone had gotten off to, but still. That's why they had a local cable station, to get the word out to the world. 31. Grignags and Han
Seriously, Sam I am?
The fox in his socks shrugged at the rabbit in his black tar coat.
And it was all I could get after the fox with his sticks blew the pig's house down with the TNT.
The cat in the hat picked up his fork and dug in. 32. When Maria Rosa raised her right hand, the ground was strewn with white roses. When she raised her left hand, the ground was strewn with very sharp swords. She put her hands on her hips and smiled at the bank robbers with their bandoliers and considered her choices. 33. The djinn said, and then he took my coat of feathers. The Selkie turned up the collar of her fur coat and took her hand. My sister, tell me about it. The djinn clasped the lock of her son's hair and the locket around her neck, and she did. The Selkie pushed some paperwork across the table. She was a wolf seal, and the Juris Doctorate on the wall gleamed with shiny gold seals. 34. The Shen of the Sea were pissed! First, they were stuck in a bottle for 150 years, and then they sighed and picked up the next issue. The current plot arcs of the New 52 were incredibly inconsistent. 35. Along the wine road, there are 1,000 houses, each in a different style. French castles over rolling hills, Italian villas terraced, ziggurats and flying S with windmills to lift you high. But at the end of the wine road, down by the sea, there is a house of secrets. Across the way perches a house of mystery, and the waves rumble below. In the red lacquer house of mysteries, Mary will tell you a mystery. Dinner theater. 6 nights a week and 1 matinee. In the bronze house of secrets, Lilith will serve you salt waves and cream water and will whisper a secret in your ear. No one ever makes it there. As was mentioned, there was 1,000 houses along the way. 36. On the tallest skyscrapers, where the tips pierce the sky, there are no observation decks. The cries of the wind go unheard. The sway of steel, what happens there is supposed to stay there. If clouds sometimes birth forth with a rain of god babies, that's what the flying spider monkeys and their biplanes are for. 37. Spider said, go fish. Coyote reached into the fishbowl and pulled out a fish. It was slimy and blue. He ate it. Raven said, you're not supposed to eat it. Coyote lolled his tongue and licked his lips. He waggled his eyebrows.
Go fish.
38. Hiawatha was in a street corner band with Child Roland and a rolling group of guys. They drummed barrels, blew pipes, made noise with their toes and hands and feet. He yelled out to the gathering crowd, I call this one Longfellow, and clanged 2 crash can lids together. 39. Red Rover, Red Rover, send fate right over. She smiled, adjusted her shoes, and came right on over. 40. Time was having a grand time. She'd waltzed, she'd tangoed, she'd been swept back and forth, and now she'd let down her hair. The strands coiled damply on her neck. Her heart beat faster than a double-time drum. Death cracked his spine and held out his hand as the danse macabre began to play.